This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Standing by on the phone with us from Nashville, as a matter of fact, as we visit with our good friend Robbie Robinson, former Litchfield resident and music director of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and just all-around nice guy. Robbie, how you doing today?
I'm good, my friend. How are you doing today, John Michael Marty?
I'm excellent. Enjoying the weather, even though it's a bit brisk. But aside from that, looking forward to Thanksgiving and the holiday season coming ahead. And I think you are, too.
I am. And isn't it fun that right now, this time of year, we are just getting the touch of just we're on the cusp of Christmas coming into play, and the warm and fuzzy feelings, and Christmas music is already playing, you know?
Oh, yes, that is for sure. The Hallmark Channel showing all the Christmas movies have been since the first of the month, I think.
Yeah.
You have been busy, most definitely, in the absence of touring, for the most part. So you've been so busy with your Monday night program, your Jam and Java shows, that are so widely viewed by so many people around the world, and your guests are always so great, your collaborations with all your friends in the music business, but we really have to talk about the collaborations with our good friend Sarah Nemitz and what's happening, exciting things in the world of Robbie Robinson and a new record company.
Yeah, well, I have been doing music all these years, and I didn't ever have a particular platform for it to get put out there to the public. So I came up with the idea of Robbie's Records, and our first release was The Peppermint Twist, our 2021 remake of Joey D's classic song from 1962.
And you know, the amazing thing about that version of the Peppermint Twist that you and Sarah did, it adds so much to the music video that goes with it, adds so much to the song. It's just exciting to watch. And obviously, it's been very popular because it's kind of taken YouTube by storm.
It has. It's blowing my mind that it could do so. In the first 2 weeks, we were over 200,000, and so we're still rising on the charts, and it's exciting stuff.
In a little bit, we want to play that, and we want to also talk about your new song, a song that you wrote last year and didn't get a chance. I don't mean to put words in your mouth. I should let you tell it. Tell us a little bit about The Sounds of Christmas. Let me put it that way.
Okay. The song is called The Sound of Christmas. And it was inspired just by the idea of the sound that we all hear in Christmas. And you can know when you're walking down the street in Litchfield, Illinois, or if you're walking down the street in Broadway, New York, there's a sound that permeates the air, and it's all these great Christmas songs. It's the bells of the church, bells ringing, and all this stuff that just sort of creates that ambience of Christmas. And I thought, there is a sound that happens with Christmas. Of course, those sounds are also Alvin and the Chipmunks, or it could be Nat King Cole, or whatever. And it just gives you, it makes the world a better place, it seems, especially through all the troubled times that we've been going through the last couple of years.
It does. Now, so that was the inspiration. How does one go about writing a song like that?
Well, once if you have an inspiration, and then you call up your local genius friend, Sarah Nemitz, and basically we wrote that song like we write a lot of our songs on the phone. I'll start with an idea, or she'll start with an idea, send it back and forth via text message, maybe sharing an iPhone audio track or something, singing into the phone, and then I'll do my part, she'll do her part, and the two of us, we can come up with a finished product. And many times we've come up with a finished product from in 2 days, where we start with no idea and write a song, record it, and do a video within 2 days, just the two of us.
Her video skills are amazing, and they certainly show on this video for The Sound of Christmas. When she starts working on that and ties it in with the music that you write, what kind of a process is that? Does she just take the idea of the words and make videos that that come up and match that, or does she go way off the wall and do something different?
Well, you know what? I've always been fascinated by what her inspiration was for a particular video, and she has told me that she doesn't have a particular process other than she listens to the song and then whatever kind of comes, what images come to her mind, she does. Of course, she'll record her track and her video tracks, and I'll record my video track, all with green screen, so she can put us anywhere that she needs to do. But she is amazingly creative with that. And typically we'll write the song and we'll record the song first, and then she'll put together a video.
How many times have you and her collaborated on music? She's been, I know at least for the last year, you guys have been doing things together. How long does your association with Sarah go back?
Well, it actually goes back to her mid-teenage years, and we met at church, and she was involved in my Jam for Jesus for the last, probably 12, 15 years, something like in that neck of the woods, and she did some recording for me. But our real collaborations in terms of writing songs together really started in the COVID era, if that's the right word.
Yeah, that's the one.
Because
to go.
Everybody was home, and particularly for church, you know, I had to do things, and then I was doing this Jam and Java show, and I wanted to have content for that, and we started doing that, and in the last year and a half during COVID, we must have written and/or recorded 20 songs.
20. Wow, that's a double album right there, isn't it?
I know, it's crazy. Well, like I said, we could actually do it in about 2 days. So,
oh my gosh.
So it's the match of the skill sets. She has her studio chops together where she can do all her own vocal recording and everything at her house, and I have my studio where I can do pretty much anything at my house, and so we rock and roll.
I'd say you do. Now, you touched on something we need to also mention. Jam and Java, which has been going on for some time, but the Jam and Java during the COVID era has taken on an incredibly new life, and that has been an amazing process for you as well.
You know what? Life is funny. You never know what's going to happen, and good things can come out of bad things. COVID was not a good thing necessarily, but one of the nice things that came out of it for me is gave me, since I wasn't on the road for the first time in 40 or 50 years on a regular basis, it gave me another creative outlet to do things. And so that Jam and Java show on Monday night turned into something where it's been a lot of fun, and doing music videos and writing songs, and now starting Robbie's Records. And but this and we touched on Jam for Jesus, which this year will be the 30th year that we've done this annual Christmas concert, which involves some of the greatest musicians in Los Angeles and greatest singers in Los Angeles, world class top to bottom. And that's going to be our 30th year coming up in about 3 weeks.
That's amazing. I know that so many people have had a chance to watch some of the past Jam for Jesuses on YouTube. Is there an opportunity to watch this one live maybe this year?
Well, here's what we're going to have to do, we've decided. And We were going to wait until this week to make the final determination exactly how we're going to do it, because COVID restrictions being what they are necessitate it for us. We can't pack the church like we would normally in a non-COVID era. And so, because particularly in California, the restrictions are still much more stringent. So we are going to have a limited audience of 50 to 100 people. We are going to record the show and then stream it, live. Well, stream it, not live, but stream it on YouTube and Facebook, et cetera.
Okay. Coming up in a day or two afterwards, you think, or
a week
afterwards?
Give me a chance to edit it, to put it all together. And probably it probably will end up to be two shows, because normally that show is 3.5 hours long.
I see.
When we do it live. We can't do that and record it all, and nobody's going to want to sit there for 3.5 hours, I wouldn't think. But so we're going to probably do 2 1-hour shows.
Okay.
And
that
I'll
sounds
make sure
good.
To let you in Litchfield, I'm so thankful for being from this great town of Litchfield, and I'm so thankful to all the people who've been following this music for this past couple years on YouTube and Facebook and Jam and Job, et cetera, et cetera. So, and you know my passion for my hometown, and I just
yes.
know I love this city, and I just love the fact that I get a chance to share this music with all of my friends.
Well, of course, one of the great things about the Jam and Java has been your opportunity to promote Jam for Jesus. And also, mm-hmm. this Jam and Java, the way you've been doing it now, has allowed you to have many more performers that you maybe didn't have the opportunity to have them in live when you were doing it at, your coffee house there at the church. But by doing it the way you do it now, virtually, through the benefit of Zoom and other things, you've expanded your guest roster immensely.
Without question. Last night on Jam and Job, I had one of the guys from Vanilla Fudge, Vinnie Martell, and they were just on tour in the East Coast. And then I had a thing from last year that I played from Billy Hinchey, who was, you may be old enough to remember Dino, Desi, and Billy. I'm not sure, John.
Yes, I do remember Dino, Desi, and Billy. You bet.
So he was, he had done a thing. I had done a thing on his show last year, Thanksgiving, literally. And so he just passed away 2 days ago at the young age of 70. So we're so sad. But he was one of the great statesmen in our music business. And so the whole music business was sad at his loss, at his passing. But I showed a little clip of me doing his show from last year. So, the roster is great. I can talk to people all over the world, which is amazing,
It's ironic that you had the Billy Hinchey interview last night, because I was doing one of my karaoke shows on Saturday night, and a friend of mine who you may know, Dennis Carlock, Rotten Rod, happened to
uh-huh.
come over and visit with me. And he said, John, he said, look here, he said, he just died, Billy Hinchey. So we were talking about it just Saturday night. I guess he had just died earlier that day. And when I turned on Jam and Java last night to get a chance to see that interview, it really made me feel good. I'm glad that you were able to play that, because it was a fascinating interview, and he was a terrific guy.
He was a terrific guy and a very talented guy and very beloved within the industry, and had worked with a lot of people, from the Beach Boys to Joan Jett and a whole bunch of other successful people in our business,
Oh, my, yes. A matter of fact, hadn't he toured with the Beach Boys for 15
yeah.
years or so?
Yeah, he toured with almost every group. And when they had that band, if we can go back in the day,
sure.
I remember as a teenager listening to that, one of their first records. They were, Desi Arnaz, of course, was Desi Arnaz's son, and he was 11 years old. Dino Martin Jr., Dean Martin Jr., was Dean Martin's son, of course, and he was 13, and Billy Hinchey was 14, Dino, Desi, and Billy. And the three of them, they were really good at that young, young age. They were on Ed Sullivan that way, playing live and sounding great.
Yeah, and had their share of hits as well. You know,
yes,
it was
absolutely
terrific. It was, I just was reading, of course, a bit about Dean Martin yesterday, and, of course, how the tragic death of Dino, you know, with his plane crash, was how it affected Dean Martin in his later years, and he just never was the same after that.
I would imagine not. You know, that was a very sad accident, no doubt about it.
Oh yeah, and you know, he was a member of the Air National Guard in California, and a jet pilot, and his plane happened to go down in I forget one of the San Gabriel Mountains, I think, mm-hmm. and it was very tragic, for sure. Robbie, one of the things that I always enjoy anytime we get together is, without you ever acting like a name dropper, the names that just pop out of your mouth of who you've worked with just amaze not only me, but everybody else who listens. When I put up that you were going to be on today, I had several comments, people saying, I can't wait. I wonder who he's going to talk about today. And, I mean, it's amazing. So, God bless you, and for always sharing some of these wonderful stories with us back here. It's always fun.
Well, God bless you, too, John Michael Marty. And I love getting a chance to talk to you. I love always connecting with Litchfield in any way, shape, or form. And, like I said, the Sound of Christmas, we're going to... Well, let me back. I didn't really get into this, so I'll spell this out, because you touched on the Sound of Christmas, this record. Sarah and I wrote this last year, and it was right in the middle of December when we wrote it. And now that we have a little bit of lead time, we're going to promote it like it should be. By the way, I have a friend of mine, Springfield, Illinois, who's been helping me in coordinating and promoting the Robbie's Records stuff. His name is Greg Pacinko, and I know a number of the Litchfield audience will know Greg Pacinko because he was a local musician in Springfield that we used to play with, and he's remained a lifelong friend. And but he has his own record label called Blue Jazz Records, which has been very successful, and he's helping me get this Robbie's Records off the ground, and we're going to start the promotion campaign tomorrow for the Sound of Christmas. So we're hoping that this can become one of those standard Christmas songs, and I believe in it. We love it, and so hopefully you'll play it at some point, John Michael Marty.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because I was going to ask, you know, if you're opening it up tomorrow for the general public, would you maybe allow me, since I have it queued up and ready to go, allow me to introduce it to our Litchfield audience a day early?
I would love it. I would not only allow it, I would be so thankful that if you would do that. I would be honored.
Well, if you will just stand by and listen to it with us, let's play The Sound of Music with Robbie Robinson and Sarah Nemitz right now. Are you ready?
The Sound of Christmas.
Yes.
I love the sound of Christmas on the radio. Alvin, the Chipmunks, and Nat King Cole, we're singing together the songs we know. While we watch the snow, I love the sound of Christmas when sleigh bells start to ring, gathering together and caroling. Joy and laughter for old and young. Christmas time has come. I love the sound sound of Christmas. Hear those reindeer parties waiting by the fire for Santa Claus. Angel choirs dressed in white. Christmas time is here to
So what do you think of that? I like that song. That's beautiful.
Well, thanks. Yeah, that was a fun one to do. And who doesn't love the sound of Christmas, you know?
Well, you know, a Christmas snowfall on the roof, if it could sing, would sound about like that. You know, that is wonderful.
Well, thanks. Yeah, and so and it's so perfect that the first time we get to play it this year is in Litchfield.
What I thought. Thanks for letting me do it.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for letting me do that. You know, one of the great things about every time we get together has always been we get to do something like that. We get to introduce something new, or you get to pass along a little bit of info that nobody else has got yet. So we really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, John. And now with the advent of Robbie's Records, now I have a vehicle to put forth this music on its own platform, which hopefully should allow for much more musical content. And speaking of vehicle,
yes.
No segue intended, but one of the projects I'm working on is for a guy who was the singer and writer of Vehicle, and he also wrote The Eye of the Tiger, but we're doing a collaboration. I'm doing it with him. His name is Jim Peterick, and along with the lead singer from Grand Funk Railroad, Mark Farner, we're doing this thing together.
Robbie,
so
the
that should
company
be,
you
sometime.
Keep. Oh, my. The company you keep. That's just amazing.
Well, the music business is really a small business when it gets down to it, especially if you get guys that are past 30 like me. And so, that are still doing it. And so, you tend to get to know everybody, especially when you've been in the business as long as I've been in the business. And, so it's kind of fun and, gives us a chance to get. And again, the COVID thing, as I say, has not been a good thing for the world or for our country or for any of us, But one of the good things that has come out of it have been a lot of these virtual collaborations among musicians from all over the globe. So that's kind of that would probably never have happened without some medium like this and some need like this.
Oh, so true. Robbie, it would be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about Frankie and, of course, your association with him. I saw the note yesterday that Frankie has pneumonia and had to cancel the rest of the shows for this year, but we certainly wish him a speedy recovery.
And Frankie has pneumonia. He thought it was the flu, and so we canceled a weekend, and then the doctors say, no, it's not the flu, it's pneumonia. And by the way, just to be clear, it is definitely not COVID, anything COVID-related. But he's not in the hospital. He's at home and recuperating, and he's getting better. The doctors say that he should be fine to start our first shows, which will be second week of January. We have our first concerts booked, and so we plan on a full schedule again next year. And
I think there's
a date that was somewhere in St. Louis that has been canceled out twice, I believe, due to COVID. So
yeah, that's a shame. One of these days, I'm going to get a chance to see you live on stage with Frankie. I know it's going to happen.
Maybe it could be when we can do a Frankie Valli concert at the new Litchfield Performing Arts Center.
Yeah, there you go. Let's build that.
They will come.
That's for sure. Let me go back to Peppermint Twist for a minute or two.
Yeah.
Like you say, 200,000 views on YouTube. The opportunity to pick it up on all the platforms. Basically, if you want to listen to it on Spotify or Amazon Music or whatever, you can do it, right?
Absolutely. It's available on every music platform. Any way you listen to your music, it's available.
All right. And The Sound of Christmas will also be there starting tomorrow, you say?
That's right. Starting tomorrow, it's all going to be up on all the same platforms. And then another thing for Peppermint Twist, we are remaking the video of Peppermint Twist to be geared specifically for TikTok. And because Peppermint, I mean, that's such a perfect TikTok kind of song.
Oh,
I can't wait to see a John Michael Marty video on TikTok dancing the Peppermint Twist.
On top of my snow-covered roof the day before
there
Christmas.
There you go.
That'll work. I look forward to that, too. Now, you're in Nashville right now, but you're getting ready to head back to California, right?
Yeah, I came down here to have a little away time, see grandkids and kids, and we are heading back on Thursday evening after we have a nice turkey dinner here with the family.
All right. Well, don't eat too much because, you know, we don't want you nodding off or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck with everything, and I can't wait for our next visit, probably 2 or 3 months down the road, when you got more projects to talk about.
I love it. Always talking to you, my friend, John.
All right. Well, thank you, Robbie. Have a great holiday Thursday, and Merry Christmas, and we'll talk again soon.
Back at you, my friend, and back at to everybody. Happy Thanksgiving and blessed Christmas to everybody in Litchfield.
All righty. Robbie Robinson, everybody. Thank you. I hear the applause from all over radio land.
Thanks so much, brother.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.